Director of the book and a film titled The Invisible Doctrine, The Secret History of Neoliberalism. Please, all of you, watch it, read it, and let's continue talking about it. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Esty. Really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. And thanks to Sarah and Emmett and Lainey. I'm Esty Dinor. I'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and...
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
And with us, as almost never, is Mel. I'm so excited.
Hi.
Mel. So Mel is on the computermatron right now from the Mel Cave, and you're back, and I'm so happy you're back.
Yeah, I'm working on it here. I'm still not... Not 100%, but I'll try to do this for a few weeks before I have to have some more surgery, so I'll miss a few weeks, probably in September or October, November, December, whenever they decide they want to, you know, schedule something for me.
Now,
it's convenient for them.
You're having a complete body replacement, is that right?
I'm going to be a Kardashian when this is done.
Cher will be envious of you, I'm sure.
You won't recognize me when it's all over.
All those Velcro parts you'll have.
It's like the old wooden ship.
Theseus. Theseus. Yeah, exactly. It's still Mel if all the parts are replaced. By the way, that was our friend and comrade, Luthor, Master of the Universe.
Hello.
And he's engineering today as well. So I just want to let you know, Mel, that we got a couple of cards. People are worried that you're gone, and they want you to come back. And so,
yeah, I have a lot of creditors. So.
Yeah, you thought you'd get out of it that easily. So I got one here. Let's see. This is from a card that says, "Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light." And here's a little message for you. This is from Anne and Mark, and they say, "Dear Mel, your absence from WRT due to a bike accident is depressing, and not just for you. My husband and I miss your anecdotes, comebacks, and wit." This is going to be like a reverse roast here. "We wish you all the best, although it's apparently too late to wish you a speedy recovery." Sigh. "Now that I have your attention, here's an anecdote for you. Back in the 20th century, there was a letter to the editor of Reader's Digest," don't ask me why I was reading that rag, "upbraiding them for editing down a woman's letter. She claimed an enormous number of children were being turned into Satan by reading the Harry Potter books. They replied that she referenced the source of this info as The Onion, which they informed on all the readers as a satirical publication. I remember that Onion article, and I can't say the actual headline on the air." Just to say it involves some greasy appendage of the Dark Lord. "I faxed this to WRT's Attention You and Mr. Smarty Pants. Then on Friday afternoon, I was in the parking ramp down my campus listening to the radio while hubby was in the meeting. Needless to say, whether you remembered or not, you guys had a lot of fun with it." This is back in the day she did this. I was laughing so hard I thought I'd pee my pants. We can't say that on the air. Then as I recovered, I wondered if anyone walking to their car noticed the middle-aged woman in the Subaru laughing, crying, just finishing the last exam. So keep up the stiff upper lip, gummies, Bloody Marys, or whatever turns you on. We need you, man. Love.
Well, thanks. They did remove some of my wit. It was they had to take some of it out. That also fractured, apparently.
Well, so. I think, why should have some, you know, why should some have
half,
so much?
I'm half.
So much
no,
wit.
Half-wit.
Yeah, well, so much wit, and so others be so witless, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So, and I had an irony deficiency too.
So. Yeah, you can take tablets for that.
Now, for those of you who don't know this, I was in a bike accident about 2 months ago. I was hit by a cement truck. No, I wasn't. I fell like a klutz.
Like Captain Klutz.
And they tested me. They said that my bones are made out of the same stuff that those Valentine's Day chalk candies are made out of.
The funny thing too, there were messages on there. That was the weird part.
They revealed. They revealed to you that you're in the lowest tier of X-Men.
In the League of Substitutes. Yeah, right.
Stone Boy.
Chalk Bone Guy.
Yeah, right.
Run away.
So, what else was Scotland? You were in Scotland for
I was. We were for the Fringe Festival. And there's a comedian that companion I absolutely adore. His name is Larry Dean, and he's really funny and really manic. And we got to see him at a pub because we were there for the Fringe Festival, which, as many people know, is in Edinburgh, is this gigantic sort of arts, cultural Lollapalooza. And it is really, there's just so many things to do and see. It's just overwhelming. And but we wanted to see Larry Dean, and we were in the front row. I said I wasn't going to go unless I could be within spitting distance of this guy, and he spits a lot. That was great. I did have to take a really hot shower before when I got there, though, because I wanted to get the stench of fascism off me. I thought that might might respond more favorably to me on the street. So no, it was great. We went to plays and we went to musicals and we went to performances and it was fun. And there were a lot of the comedy things we went to were really low level, like our level, but they were good. You know, it was like these two women did this thing where one of them stopped me on the street and she said, "Do you have a pointless job?" And I said, "No, actually, my job has a very good point. What about you?" And she said, "Well, I used to have a pointless job, but now I'm a comedian." So I was like, "Well, it's a step up or not?" But somebody just called in. This is like the Jerry Lewis telethon. Caller says, "Please tell Mr. Smarty Pants that we are so excited that Mel is back. It made my day."
Oh, that said this person. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah. Well, I got another card for you here too, Mel. "Mel, get well soon, damn it. We miss your stunning wit and all-knowing laugh." it's an all-knowing chuckle, but yes, I think so. "Get back to the Friday show soon, or we'll be forced to call the cops." And it says, "Much soulful support, Ann and Tom." So, Ann and Tom.
Got a couple emails. Got one from the dude who says, "Mel badly needed." And Scott also wrote and said, "Mel, hell yeah." So, hell Mel. Yeah, Mel.
Something that was like that. Hail Mel.
I can't read. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Just hail Mel.
So thank you for all that. It's nice.
Yeah. So
I once wrote entered a short story writing contest.
Sure.
And it had a Scottish theme to it because they said you should write what you know. So I wrote it from the standpoint of a Scottish girl in the Highlands, a coming of age story.
Okay.
And it was called "How Green Is My Haggis." I didn't win.
Well, first of all, the thing you're parodying actually happened in Wales, but it's one of those little marginal countries English took over.
That's probably why I lost.
Well, you know what was really scary? We went on a big nature hike. Because there's a huge, beautiful this thing called Arthur's Seat, which is this, you know. If I remember correctly, Edinburgh is basically, there were like three volcanic calderas that are the center of the city, and so these big craggy peaks and stuff. It's really gorgeous scenery there. And the very day the companion and I were taking the hike up to from Edinburgh's old town up to Arthur's Seat. Apparently, as we were coming back, a fire started. Some crazy tourist. It was very hot and dry in Europe, as you probably know. And some crazy tourist apparently ignited something, and they had to have the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service there to put it out. And it's a lot of dry weather right now. So yeah.
Are they raking enough in the forest?
Well, there's no forest. This is Scotland. So everything is like, you know, little pieces of grass barely holding onto rock. That's basically your scenery. We love that kind of scenery, though. That's our scenery. So I bet you've been spending a lot of time watching Fearless Leader online, haven't you? And,
no, I don't watch Fearless Leader online.
Really?
I don't do that. Yeah. So, but, I can't really stand to listen to him, but so he did reach out to this week he reached out to a Norwegian minister, the prime minister or one of the ministers anyway, and asked about the Nobel Peace Prize. so he's lobbying for the Nobel Peace Prize.
He's asking for a friend.
Exactly.
And I bet you he started out by saying, what do one of those peace prizes cost?
Yeah.
How much do I have to give you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be, or conversely, what do I have to do to force you in the other direction?
Yeah.
We're raising the tariffs on Norway by 500% or some kind of BS.
There you go.
Awful nice country. Be sad if anything happened to it.
That's our... Our thug in chief there. So. J.D. Vance was in England, and he wanted to go to this pub, traditional pub.
Sure.
And the staff at the pub mutinied, and they said, "No, we don't want him here."
Yeah.
And so they turned him away. But did you see? That was about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He was going kayaking with his family. And the Army Corps, the water wasn't very high where he wanted to go. So the Army Corps of Engineers raised the water level for
it's good to be the king.
The prince there.
Yeah,
but so he and his family could have like plenty of water to kayak in. And then when they were gone, they dropped it back down for him. So, or for whoever.
Man. So over the break, I was reading the autobiography of Trotsky. That's where I am right now.
A little light reading there.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm done with this whole, yeah, we can figure it out gradually thing. You know? It's like I'm getting the how-tos on it. You know, okay, so first you take over the telegraph station. So just let you know. Apparently the railroad, the telegraph station, and if you got a ship in the harbor, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So that's
I guess we got the first step down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what else did we do? Let's see. We took a train. We went down to London. That was kind of whatever, you know, London, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
Yeah. We went through the Channel at one point.
So how was the Channel?
It's just like a dark hole in the ground.
Generally.
No, it's we went on the Eurostar, the train that goes through there. But you know that because of all the concern about, you know, illegal immigrants and so on in Europe, they have like fence upon fence upon fence. I mean, if Trump wants some guidance on how to like really fence something off, he should go over there and take a peek at that, because they, like, when you're coming in from France and you're going under the English Channel, I mean, there's just a zillion fences and barbed wires and barbed wire on top of the barbed wire. And
oh, really?
So on. Yeah, it's, they just don't want anybody, like, jumping on the train. Part of that could be safety concerns, too, of course, because the best thing about being in Europe is the trains go so fast. It's so freaking great.
What are these trains?
A train nerd. Yeah, I know. No, it was great. I mean, you get on the train, you sit down, and then you're whisked like super fast to wherever you want to go, and you can like, you know, watch something online or read a book or something, whatever you want to do.
Uh huh. Yeah.
What a crazy idea.
Yeah. We had some talk of something like that back before Scott Walker got elected.
Who?
Of having trains that would actually go to Chicago and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Quickly, but
the problem is black people can use those, and that was
and poor people.
I think that put the kibosh on it right there for Scott Walker.
Just have a dress code or something, you know.
There you go. Got to wear a dress when you go on the train. I'm okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Margaret Thatcher? She said, if you're 26 and riding the bus, you're a loser.
I think if you're listening to Margaret Thatcher, you're a loser.
So in my job.
Pants, you're saying Bob Caston could ride the plane.
Good. Who even knows who Bob Caston is anymore?
Okay. So there's an old joke that three people might remember.
Those are the best kind of jokes.
We call them vintage legacy jokes.
So there's this senator from Oklahoma. His name is, and you'll like this.
That's
name,
the punchline right there.
But yeah, that's the whole joke. No, it's, you'll like this. His name is Mark Wayne Mullen.
Oh yeah, it's one word, Mark Wayne.
One word, Mark Wayne.
That's a creative name creation there. Yep.
Now he's put a lot of thought into this concern about all the crime in Washington D.C.
Yeah,
and he's very concerned about it.
Yep.
And he says he doesn't wear his seatbelt in D.C. because he's afraid of being carjacked. He says he doesn't buckle up because he doesn't want to get trapped in the car when the bad guys are carjacking him. Well, that's a great way to analyze and respond to possible threats in your life.
Mm, what a sissy.
Because he's likely to get carjacked, but he's probably not likely to get in an accident or anything.
So, well, that's probably a terrorist. Terrorist attack.
What's that?
Terrorist attack.
Yeah, terrorist.
And this is like a new creative reason someone has come up with to not wear a seatbelt. Like, add it to the list.
Well, he's from Oklahoma. There's a chance he might not know how to use one. He's probably never seen one, you know. But
I have a fan. I think
he also says he sleeps in his office because he's afraid to go out at night in D.C. I mean, this is.
That guy needs meds. That sounds a little worrisome.
They should have the National Guard like follow this guy around and protect him 24/7.
Also, shouldn't this be like the baseline requirement to be a senator? Like, I feel comfortable to walk, comfortable and competent enough to walk outside
in the city that I'm working in.
I agree with you. That seems like a pretty baseline.
I would be pretty upset as an Oklahoman voter if I learned this. Who did I vote for?
He's just under his desk wetting himself. How is he getting anything done?
I have to go back to what Luther was saying, though, is that I have a family member who does not wear a seatbelt, and it's all about the power play. I mean, these are like the people that, you know, were calling, you know, the masks during COVID face, you know, diapers and crap like that. I mean, just, you know, you can't tell me what to do. I'm like, okay, all right, we won't tell you what to do, but the windshield will, you know, so I just let you know. It's called the laws of physics. Yeah,
laws of physics will tell you what.
Yeah, exactly.
My ex-in-laws, they were very nice people, but they had some odd habits. And they had heard the statistic that most accidents happen within 30 miles of home, or, you know, one of those types of statistics.
So they never went
and
home.
So, when they would go on a long trip, they would put their seatbelts on. But then as soon as they got 30 miles away from home, they would take their seatbelts off. And then conversely, when they're coming back, when they got within 30 miles of, you know, Madison.
Was that the Aristotle family? I mean, what is this? That logic chopping is just amazing. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd appreciate that as a logic person. Yeah,
okay. We're really bad at assessing probabilities. The problem with probabilities is that probabilities nest in probabilities. So it becomes mind-blowing when you've got like a little slimy human brain, right? So, I mean, that's part of the problem right there. So I think that's why we tend towards these giant, like, on or off ways of thinking, because the other option is too difficult.
Yeah. Well, we overestimate things that are really dramatic, too. Like, you know, you'd mentioned a terrorist attack or something. Yeah. And really the problem is, you know, like, eating French fries. That's probably the most dangerous thing you can do in your life. I mean,
I got to tell you right now, and if there are any terrorists listening, plug your ears. But the TSA is not even trying anymore. I got to tell you, I'm not making this up. I've got my liquids in the little bag. I've got everything all ready to pull out, and they're like, "Come on." You know, I mean, I was okay. The two things that President Trump has pioneered that I'm for are, you know, you don't have to take your shoes off anymore when you go through the airport.
Yeah, amen.
So that's amen on that one. And paving over the Rose Garden. I was like, that Rose Garden, you know, that was just like, it had it coming. So
all those thorns.
Yeah. It's just, well, I mean, it was like, oh, they're having a conference in the Rose Garden, you know. So whatever. But so those are the two things. I can find two things. I'm trying to find a kernels of corn in his poop right there. And those are the two things I can stand. But I got to tell you, they were like, I think they're undermotivated. I think federal workers right now do not have a good motivational structure. They're just kind of like, okay, we know we're probably going to get fired tomorrow. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody cares anymore. Just, they waved us through. And that was just kind of like, whatever. Yeah, I know. It's like, I'm sure all the people that get the pre-check are like, what the hell did I pay that for? Because they were just letting people through.
You know how, when did they take your picture? When you're like, the part where you show your ID, do they take a picture?
Yeah.
The first time I saw that, I was like, I don't want that. And then the guy was like, oh, you don't have to do that. You could just show me your ID.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, they've got no will to live.
if you don't want your picture taken, just ask them not to take your picture.
Yeah. Or find a substitute. That would even be more fun.
Wear a mask.
There you go. Wear a mask. Yeah.
Wear your ice mask.
What was the last time you were on a plane, Mel?
Oh, it's been ages. I mean.
They usually travel by overland coach, right? Is that the usual?
As the crow flies.
As the crow flies, exactly. You and Miss Kitty.
She's a nice gal. Don't say anything bad about Miss Kitty. Yes. Got to make a living.
Yeah, we all do. Hey, you know, Australia is the latest country to recognize the statehood of Palestine. Have you heard about this? The number of countries now that are saying that Palestine is itself a country is going up. Let me see. I got a stat here. How many we got? Let's see. Among the 34 NATO countries, 14 have recognized Palestine's statehood. And of the 193 countries that exist in the world, 147 already recognize Palestine as a state. So, and of course, as you know, both Canada and France have indicated that they are considering treating Palestine as a state, and the United Kingdom is also negotiating right that now, right at this moment. So a good PR job, Israel. Everybody climbs on board. But Australia has just announced that they are also going to recognize.
Oh, okay. But that reminds me of with Putiput meeting Trump in Alaska.
Sure.
Or as Trump calls it, Russia.
Yeah. Seward's folly.
He's
still fighting with the Secretary of State Seward over that.
Oh, yeah. He's had a few Truth Social bombs about that. Yeah. But he said, I'm going to Russia to meet with Putin.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary because sometimes he says things that he's planning on doing and they just sort of leak out.
Sure.
But anyway, there were people asking, If Putin lands in U.S. soil, since he's been indicted by the International Criminal Court, if we would be obligated to arrest him. Yeah. But the trick, the little catch there is that the U.S. has not signed on to that treaty.
No.
So we're like one of, there's like 150 countries that have signed on or something like that.
And us in the Emirates, probably the only ones. That
we're always on these lists with like these horrible countries.
The only people that used to still use inches and feet, you know, it's like us and three other countries.
That's also the only countries that host the FIFA World Cup anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the stankiest ones.
Trump will just steal the trophy anyway. When
oh, yeah. What did you think about his rambling monologue, his King Lear-like monologue about it? Could have been a contender because you had that stupid reality show. Oh, my God.
What was that for the soccer game?
Or? Well, no, that was for the Kennedy Awards.
He was talking about
how he was involved, 98% involved in who was going to be honored.
Oh, right.
On this because
and they came up with Kiss.
Did you see him on the?
Because Gene Simmons is like one of the most horrible people in the world. He's just a known a-hole, and everybody who's ever met him hates him.
Right.
So
perfect.
So that's perfect for them. So.
What were you gonna say, Luke?
Did you see him on the stage at the soccer game? That was a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Is the FIFA Club World Cup in New Jersey, and then Trump was on the stage with Chelsea, the winning team. while they were lifting the trophy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And all they interviewed the players and they afterwards, and they were like, yeah, we didn't really know that that was going to happen. He just showed up on the stage.
Well, you see, Luke, what confused him is the name Chelsea. He thought that was a 13-year-old girl.
Oh.
Let's be more generous than that. I think he just photobombs everybody's photo opportunity. Can we just say that?
Well, then he stole the medal.
They were chasing him.
He was putting it in his suit pocket, his suit coat.
This is the weirdest episode of To Catch a Predator.
Very elaborate.
I expected like the John Candy security guard to come up and go, excuse me, sir. I your gold medal. Are you going to pay for that? But then they apparently had some like a duplicate they gave to the team, but they just let him walk away with it. So, he was wandering around. He's been wandering a lot. I'm still not sure what he was doing on the roof that one time a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was unclear. I was hoping. Well, no, I won't say what I was hoping. probably a law against that. But anyway, hey, I just want to mention we did spend a little bit of time in Paris, and something happened there that I don't know if you heard about this. But on Tuesday, we were there on Tuesday, there was a guy, we weren't in this place, in this particular spot, but a guy was arrested at the Arc de Triomphe. Do you know what he was doing?
No.
He lit his cigarette on the eternal flame. So there's a dude who was just kind of like, he just walked over the barrier, and he just thought, oh, well, I need to light my ciggy. So he lit his ciggy on the eternal flame. And he got arrested. According to the France's interior minister, a man by the name of Bruno Retailleau, he says, this unworthy and deplorable act undermines the memory of those who died for France. So they're going to.
And the guy who got arrested said, worth it.
Totally worth it. Exactly. I lit my cigarette. I'm so happy.
Had to fire up my lucky.
Coolest move ever.
It was pretty cool. Actually,
That's like a James Dean move or something.
Yeah. I think that when I saw the couple times that I've seen that. Been in that spot. The biggest problem, of course, is you see everybody's head, you know, because everybody's like trying to take the perfect picture. And
oh, sure.
That's usually the. But yeah, the idea of walking over and lighting up your cigarette with it actually is pretty darn cool.
Did he have a leather jacket on? Yeah,
that's unclear from the story I have in front of me.
Slick back hair. So, hey, I mentioned that I had a Putin poop story.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't want to disappoint the loyal listeners out there.
No, you promise.
No, that's probably the story they really want to hear about.
Yep.
So now I know Putin is getting pretty paranoid as he gets older. I mean, he's always been paranoid because he was, you know, KGB guy and everything. But he apparently when he travels, and this came up because he's going to be in Alaska. But he travels with his own porta potty, and because he doesn't want to leave any poop behind.
I see.
He doesn't want anybody to grab his poop and analyze it, and you know, come especially like for medical conditions. Mm-hmm. So that would leak out. So they gather up his poop and they put it in this like an attaché case, and he's got a flunky. He's got two flunkies. He's got one who carries the case with like the nuclear football essentially.
Yeah.
And then the other one carries a case of Putin's poop.
Yeah. You know what it makes
me? I hope they're identical so they can get them mixed up too, which would be kind of fun.
It immediately makes me think of the Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns goes off the rails and becomes like Howard Hughes, and he's wearing tissue boxes on his feet, and he hasn't cut his nails or his hair, and then he's got all these jars of urine that he's been saving, and so then he suddenly wakes up and realizes, what have I been doing? You know, and he says, you know, he's like, okay, Smithers, you know, get rid of all of these boxes and, you know, clip my nails. And, sir, what about the urine? Oh, we'll hang on to those.
Well, the thing is, Trump is such a copycat. He's going to get jealous that Pootie's got his own little porta potty. So he's going to have his own porta potty. It'll be gold.
Gold, yeah.
And then he'll have a flunky. Maybe Big Balls could do this. He'll need a flunky to carry around his poop. So.
Yep. But little sarcophagi of put his sacred remains in.
Like, I must have a hard time answering the question, what do you do?
Well,
what do you do for work?
I assist a great world leader.
I'm very close.
Keep it general, yeah.
I'm the bag man. So.
This was a very strange story. I don't know if you saw this, Mel. The person who was leading the FDA's vaccines and gene therapy division resigned 2 weeks ago. Did you hear about this? That Laura Loomer, you know, the crazy Laura Loomer?
Sure.
She was like, oh, she found something that he had said that, you know, showed that he was transgressing against the Holy Ghost or whatever. And so they were going to jump him out. Well, they've hired him back for some strange reason. So he had said some things about the MAGA people that were not pleasant, and Laura Loomer found out. And apparently Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just said, well, we kind of need that guy. So they hired him back, and they let him do it. So I don't know what that means.
Hmm.
He must have provided a large contribution to somebody. I'm sure that's probably part of it, if I know how these things work.
He was the only one who knew the passwords.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they did that with NOAA too. They ended up hiring back a bunch of the weather people, like hundreds and maybe even thousands of them. They're trying to hire back that got cut by Muskie.
Yeah.
When they first, you know, took the chainsaw to everything.
Right, right.
Now they're finding out that, you know what? Weather's kind of important to people. And
I thought the weather service one really kind of shocked me, because there's been a weather service associated with the United States government going all the way back to basically the middle of the 19th century. It was one of the things. It was originally in the Agriculture Department when the Republicans then, Abraham Lincoln Republicans, created the Agriculture Department. When it was so funny during the period of time, people don't talk about this, but during the period of time when the South was not in the Congress, they did all this progressive legislation because they'd gotten rid of the giant drag on progressive legislation. So one of the things they did is they created an education bureau, and they created a Department of Labor and an Agriculture Department, but they had a weather bureau in there going all the way back, because of course farmers need to know the weather. So that's right, one of the older bureaucratic institutions of our government. Stunned by that information, aren't you?
We're just taking that in.
Think about it.
Luke, do we have some announcements to play?
Yeah.
Let's take a break here and play some announcements. We'll be back in about, a couple minutes.
Alrighty. You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
This program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and local nonprofit IT services provider, DaneNet, who will be hosting a tech recycling event in Warner Park Friday, August 22nd from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. They will accept old computers, laptops, monitors, smartwatches, cell phones, and other personal tech equipment that will be wiped, then recycled, or reused to promote digital equity in Dane County. This technology recycling event is for home and personal devices only. No copiers, appliances, or medical technology will be accepted. That's the morning of Friday, August 22nd at Warner Park. More information is available at danenet.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Dane Dances, a free, family-friendly event at the Monona Terrace rooftop every Friday evening in August. This week features Ribulu Group at 6 p.m. and Love Monkeys at 8 p.m. Carry-in chairs, blankets, and baskets permitted. No carry-in alcohol. More information on the Dane Dances concert series is available at danedances.org.
And we're back. Here's some local news. The Festival Food East Washington location has voted yes to a union.
Oh.
It passed 46 votes yes to 18 no. There were 82 employees were eligible. They'll be represented by UFCW 1473. It's the same union that represents Madison Sourdough, Metcalf's, and the Metro Market on Cottage Grove Road.
Oh, very nice.
Sweet. That's where I shop.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's amazing. Right. So, you know, when Companion and I moved to the Isthmus back in the day, all you youngins, we were urban pioneers in a virtual wasteland, you know. And then, I mean, you had to go for like miles just to go to a grocery store. But yeah, we loved when they first opened there. We were so excited to have a supermarket, a few blocks from where we live. So, yeah, so we're faithful customers. That makes me so happy. I did not know that.
Yeah. We're trying to do a little good news here. So.
Yeah, I got a couple ones here, too. I don't know if you've heard this. Finally, after all the delays, a judge down in Texas on Wednesday ordered that all assets from the InfoWars website, of course, founded and operated by Alex Jones, would be turned over to a court-ordered receiver. And then that person is going to sell those assets to help pay 10 families who lost children in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. You know, this is like 13 years ago now. So the families have been awarded $1.4 billion in damages altogether, all 10 families, back in 2022. And then basically Alex Jones has been hiding his assets and going through the court system to try to protect everything so he doesn't have to pay. Because what he said was that the 21st graders and educators that died, that was all a hoax, and that the family members of the victims were actors. And they were in a plot. I mean, this is classic MAGA BS, right? They were in a plot to enact extreme gun control legislation. You don't like the way reality is lining up with your crazy ideas, and so you say, well, reality is not real at all. That's the way we do it. So the ruling instructs the receivers to take possession of the company, which is called Free Speech Systems. I just love now that the MAGA is in the saddle. All this stuff about free speech has become so like completely ridiculously ludicrously hypocritical. But that was the parent company, and within a matter of days, they're going to seize the company's physical equipment, mixing boards, microphones, as well as intellectual property and its various other assets.
Very nice. This also it opens the door for The Onion to buy it, which was what
they
had put a bid in last year, and a judge blocked it. And so this decision then reopens that. So it might be, hopefully they buy it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't realize that.
That'd be nice. I have an Ohio story for you here.
I got a couple. I just want to. Go ahead. We got a couple of calls. People are really. I think they're just happy. You're back. One person said, "You missed the joke, Mel. You missed the joke. You're getting rusty there for the bit about the Putin's poopies. It's that the guy who's in charge is in charge of Putin's movements." So. and then another caller called in and said she's helping set up the Eakin Park Festival for tomorrow. And the second best news was when the beer truck was delivered. But the best news of all is that Mel is back. So,
we got an email from Tim who points out that Henry VIII had people who were called grooms of stool.
Yes, of the stool. Yes, grooms of the stool. Yeah,
grooms of stool. Whose job it was to wipe his butt. He had four such people during his reign, all of whom were knighted. He may have hated most of his wives, but he took care of his butt wipers.
This was very typical. Charles II was famously quoted as saying, because he had been in exile, right? Because they didn't have a monarchy when he was young. And so when he became king in 1660, he was overwhelmed by the fact that there are all these gentlemen of the bedchamber and things like that. And he famously shouted, "I cannot piss, but that someone has to hold the pot." So it's not always good to be the king.
So, Luke, were you going to say something? I think I interrupted you.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I got nothing. There's nothing going on in there.
Meow, 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 meow.
It's the 30-second rule where it's gone.
Into the wasteland.
So, Pants, you've been to Ohio, right?
Been to Ohio. I was born there.
Yeah, I know. So there's a new bill in Ohio.
High State University Hospital. My mother never paid the bill. She said they were going to come repo me if I didn't look out.
They still might.
That's led to lifelong anxiety.
Yeah. Always looking over my shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. Here come the men in white.
Also, you're also a Kentucky colonel, so that might give you
That's some. Right. Well, that's we moved to Kentucky when I was 12. So my dad was from Kentucky and my mom was from
a little armor.
There. Yep, yep.
But so new Ohio bill would create a state registry of applicants who skip job interviews.
Ah.
So we're kind of really doubling down on this.
Yeah, yeah.
People are lazy and no one wants to work. We shouldn't have any social programs.
I misunderstood that. I thought it meant they're creating a list of people who don't have to show up to an interview. They just get the job.
Oh.
No, that's the Cash Patel law.
That's called the donor list.
Yeah. The thing is, when they do stuff like this, I saw another article today by this America's Sophist in Chief, David Brooks, talking about how, you know, liberal elites, they don't get out and see the people very much and blah, 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 blah. And of course, it's all a bunch of BS, right? I mean, people of his ilk have spent the last, God knows, as beginning of time trying to screw everybody over on the bottom. And here's another great example. And then they wonder why there's divisions in our society.
Well,
we love
like
the working class.
Dr. Oz has been going on a lot lately about how people who have things like diabetes, that they should learn to cook rather than be dependent on the government and things like that.
Because when you have two minimum wage jobs, cooking is the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, yeah. So they also cut a program that did help people learn how to cook healthy foods, but of course they cut that during all their big cuts.
They did a big study that was released this week, and I've heard about this, that showed that the SNAP program actually slowed cognitive decline for elderly people. This was actually presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. And, of course, it's because diet and, you know, brain health are closely connected. Big surprise. Your brain is just like a giant energy suck. It's like, I want more, right? So, you know, if you're not eating anything, your brain's going to suffer.
Right.
Hey, this was another Simpsons story. I couldn't help but think of it. Apparently, in South Carolina, four radioactive wasp nests have been discovered near a nuclear facility. That's right. The first wasp nest, radioactive wasp nest, folks. Can radioactive killer wasps be far behind? It was found by workers at the Savannah River site in South Carolina early last month. And this was recently disclosed in a report from the Department of Energy. We won't be having any more of those reports, I bet, in the future. The facility is near Aiken, South Carolina, and it produces material for nuclear weapons. Three additional nests have been discovered at the site. This is according to the Department of Energy again. The U.S. Department of Energy is managing the discovery of the four radioactive wasp nests, but they have very low levels of radioactive contamination. So that's all you need to know.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine, says the giant buzzing insect that now runs South Carolina.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. That sounds so fun.
Buzz.
Yeah, let's just go down that timeline.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Humans have had their chance, and look what they've done with it.
Yeah.
Time to give the wasps a chance, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, we got an email about Luke, actually, from the dude. He says, has Luke been added to the Mel and Floyd team? He's funny.
He is.
But they put funny in, well, not quotes, in little asterisks.
He's funny.
Well, when people say that to me, I always say, well, looks aren't everything. So.
Let's see. We got another email from Mindless Minion 200 about this unknown object in outer space that's right in the fringe of, I don't know where it is, but on the fringe of our solar system now. But
yeah, it's on the frilly skirt of our solar system.
That's right. There's this heart. It's around the belt there. So.
Somewhere around the belt,
Or the suspenders. I forget what they're wearing nowadays. But there's this Harvard scientist who, and this guy has been around for a while. He pops up every once in a while when there's something weird going on. And he says it could be an artificial probe from aliens. So Harvard scientist says aliens are coming for us.
Harvard said that.
What's his last name?
You might know him here.
Yeah.
It's Avi Loeb, L-O-E-B.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's just he's the kind of guy that a party just takes his pants down so everybody will look at him. I mean, that's what people in the astrophysics community think about that guy.
That was kind of my impression of him.
It's like, oh, that guy again. Yeah.
Remember something. He says, oh, it's aliens. Yeah, No, it's a rock.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It would be more interesting if it was aliens, but, it's not.
Yeah. So,
anyway. Hey, are you in the market? I know you are.
For what?
For a Russian super yacht. The United States is auctioning it off. It's only $325 million. It's the Amadea. It's the first sale of a seized Russian luxury ship. I'm surprised the president hasn't bought it already. Oh, he wouldn't buy it. He was just expecting somebody to give it to him.
I want that.
Yeah, I want that. Since the start of Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. So the auction closes on September 10th. And listeners, my birthday is the 7th. So there's still lots of shopping days before then. Hint, exactly.
Yeah, crowdfunding campaign.
Super yacht for Mr. Smarty.
I'm surprised they're still doing stuff like that anymore. I thought they would have dropped all those.
The yacht, in case you're curious why it deserves the appellation super yacht, it's 348 feet long, and it's currently docked in San Diego. It was custom built by the German company Lösen in 2017. It was designed by François Zaretti. The yacht features an interior with extensive marble work. You imagine marble on your yacht? What is that? Going straight to the bottom. 8 staterooms, a beauty salon, a spa, a gym, a helipad, a swimming pool, and an elevator. Unfortunately, the toilets are not so good, so everything else is great. No, it accommodates 16 guests.
They'd have a poop guy.
They probably have a poop guy. Yeah, that's the poop deck. That's where you put that guy. They really don't know who owns the Amadea. It's an opaque trail of trusts and shell companies and so on. So
one of those.
So, but it could be yours for a very low price.
So I read that that Trump was going to start, like, offering Putin some things when they meet in Russia in Russia.
Well, you bought into the propaganda, didn't you?
In Alaska, and one of the things was going to be giving them some rights to some of the natural resources in the Bering Straits. There, I don't know if they're talking about fishing or timber or mining or what, but I mean, Trump's going to like reward him for invading Ukraine and say, here, you can have this. And, I would think that most patriotic Americans would not like the idea of Russian having our stuff.
Even unpatriotic ones.
Yeah.
That's my stuff.
That's my stuff. Exactly. Thank you. Screw the United States. I want that in my super yacht.
So here's just a little tip of how this so-called summit is going to go today. The Russian's foreign minister arrived in Alaska on the eve of the summit wearing a sweatshirt emblazoned with CCCP.
Wow.
So
SSSR,
they want the Soviet Union back.
Yep.
Yeah, so
they sure do.
And he's obviously just trolling Trump, but
got another message from a caller. I just want to let us know that people are fighting back. The Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church in D.C. is suing the Proud Boys due to a judge awarded the church the right to the Proud Boys' name, etc., as compensation. So this is along the same lines as the Alex Jones story that we did.
Oh, okay.
So thank you, alert listener.
Yeah. Oh, and the dude followed up. He said, to clarify, Luke is funny. So.
Oh, he is funny, yeah. No,
we know that.
That's true.
No, we're thrilled that
he has an impish sense of humor.
Thank you.
The imp of perversity. According to a new report from the Pew Research Center, now you should know that we love the Pew people.
We do love the Pew.
We love them. They do wonderful work. It's probably going to be the only source of actual information in the near future that we're going to have. Reports that in a recent nationwide survey of 9,397 adults, 48%, almost half, reported that an online hacker stole credit or debit card information and made fraudulent charges on their cards. Here we are in the United States of Scamerica. 36% bought an item online that was counterfeit or never arrived and was not refunded. 29% reported their personal account was taken over or accessed without their permission. 25% fell victim to a scam email, text message, or call that led them to give away personal information. 10% experienced a ransomware attack that blocked the use of their computer until they gave money. And 7% reported that they gave money online to a fake investment opportunity. Again, we had our chance. I think it's time for the wasps to step up. Mm-hmm.
The radioactive wasps.
The radioactive ones, yeah. The other ones, I don't know what they want to do, but the radioactive ones.
Radioactive wasp 2028. I'm announcing my campaign.
Yeah, right. Excellent.
You heard it here first.
Forget killer meteor. We want the wasps. So.
Hopefully I can get your endorsement on this.
Well, what's in it for us? That's a valuable thing. We're not just going to give it away.
I think a train
is a great policy.
Do you know how much?
As a great politician said once.
Do you know how bad a radioactive wasp sting feels?
Probably pretty bad, I would think.
Probably bad.
Think about it.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah, yeah. Well,
they're going to develop. They're going to develop superpowers too.
Yeah. So. Well, they probably already have. I think that's your point, right?
They're like laser vision or something.
Yeah. They don't need laser vision. They got that radioactive sting.
I heard the first words of that wasp story, and the gears just started turning.
Yeah. I can hear them over here.
Are you going to do a graphic novel? So
I think a transhuman platform. Looking around the world right now, a sort of transhuman platform looks like the way to go. I mean,
reach across the aisle.
Yeah, exactly. I think again. I think humans have. They've made a mess of it. I think it's time to pull back.
Time to compromise with other species.
Exactly. So. Well, that would be great, actually. I think of a few that really would appreciate that, probably. Hey, there's going to be a new major study of transgender and gender nonconforming young people in Britain, because that's where the only place we're going to be doing that kind of work. Researchers are planning to track the mental and physical well-being of up to 3,000 children and teenagers who have gender identity that differs from their sex at birth and who have sought treatment with the country's National Health Service. Now, this is an advantage, of course, of having a National Health Service, is they can get some really good statistics on some of this stuff. So the study is part of a wider initiative from King's College London, that aims to find out how Britain's health services can best support trans and gender nonconforming children. What a novel concept.
Wow. Hey, you had a story a minute ago about scams on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And, this is sort of related. This is from Minnesota. Cyber attacks on local governments in Minnesota are happening almost every day. State officials with Minnesota's IT services say they're seeing a string of cyber attacks that may be targeting state and local governments. This agency's tracking cybersecurity incidents involving public agencies thanks to a new law that went into effect in December. They have laws there up in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yeah. Goofus and Gallant, Wisconsin and Minnesota. What, they have laws there? What?
Yeah, more than 3,000 entities across the state are now required to report cybersecurity activity that affects their organizations within 72 hours of an incident. That's kind of a good idea, because then you share that stuff, right, and you can kind of figure out what's going on. But
I saw something this week that there was a major attack on some, I think it was, oh gosh, what was it? I don't have the story in front of me, but it was some like military personnel thing or something, and it was they think the Russians, of course, were involved. I mean, they're always probing these things. So
sure.
Hey, you guys have heard the Mediterranean diet, right? The kind of thing that people tell you should really, the olives and things like that. Well, it turns out that there's a Nordic version of this too, called the Nordic diet. And I was fascinated by this because it seems so counterintuitive, but apparently, eating fatty fish is good for you, which I love herring, by the way. Every time I go to Iceland, I like, there's many different kinds of herring there. But apparently, I'm eating well, according to this. So so if you have like dense rye bread, that's good for you, and little fatty fish and pickled herring and things like that, and lots of root vegetables. Apparently, that is also okay. So if you don't like a Mediterranean diet, if that's not your way to go and you want to eat healthy, then eat like the Vikings did, okay?
And, there you go. Basically. And bury your food in the backyard for a couple of years,
exactly,
and dig it up. It's much better than
nothing so. Better than rotten rutabagas. That's what I say.
Yeah. So. Well, Popeye's on the Mediterranean diet, I hear.
Popeye?
Popeye. I don't think I should finish that joke.
Oh, no, I know. No, please don't.
Okay. What else?
Okay. Oh, dear. You fill, listener, fill in the blank, and if you know, yeah, call now.
You probably figure that out.
Spinach and something else. Yes, right.
So there's an auction that's going to be underway for Walter White's underwear. From Breaking Bad. You probably never watched Breaking Bad.
No.
But
too lowbrow for me.
Reading Trotsky books. I don't have time for that.
Exactly.
Trotsky, the graphic novel.
Yeah. There is one, actually. If you can.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Trotsky, the HBO miniseries. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
With Adam Sandler. But no, Walter White, the character in Breaking Bad, and I think it was in the pilot episode, he's standing around in his tidy whiteys for a while toward the end. Because they're cooking meth, and they had to take their clothes off because your clothes get full of meth or something. I don't know. But anyway, so they're going to auction that off, and we're going to see how much that goes for. So it'll be pretty interesting.
Actually, they did that with Brad Pitt's underwear a few years ago. He was in a movie called, what was it, Johnny Suede, back in the 90s. And he's a wannabe like musician or something. And he spends a lot of time like laying around an apartment in these like filthy looking underwear. And apparently they sold him for some outrageous amount of money.
Of course.
It was like, yipes.
Do you know that in Breaking Bad, there's a iconic scene where he throws a pizza on the roof of his house? And there's the story keeps coming up every couple of years of the people who actually live in that house saying, stop throwing pizzas on my roof. Because people just will go to their house and just throw a pizza.
Trying to recreate it. Yeah.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah. At some point, they just stop cleaning it up and the pizzas just keep stacking.
That's wonderful.
Oh, my. The drinking rate has plunged to a new low.
Really?
Yeah, it's the lowest it's been in I'm losing my story here, but it's like the lowest it's been in something like 50 years. So
that's sad.
Gen Z is not drinking.
They're not stepping up. What's the deal? I don't get it.
I don't know. The Wisconsin Tavern League is not amused. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Hey, I have an obit that I wanted to share, and this is so bizarre, but I was so impressed by this person. There's this woman, her name was Ann Harris, and she just passed away. She was 99, and she was an editor, basically a book editor for a Harper & Row, which is now part of HarperCollins. And she was the person who was the editor for The Exorcist, which was one of the best-selling novels, of course, of the 1970s. And I just thought this was so fascinating. She was one of the few at that time women editors who were assigned to a major role in the publishing industry. And she basically made these novels saleable. I just had this image of all these people that are like, apparently William Peter Blatty had tried all these different things and he didn't go anywhere and so on. And then he came up with this idea of this. But she was the person who basically did this work for him. He was the editor. And I was just so impressed by that. She also was the editor for Thornbirds. She had done some work with Carson McCullough when she was older, and just went through and I was so impressed by this. She did production work on The Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. So there's this person behind the scenes that's doing all this amazing work, and. And so I just wanted to shout out to Ann Harris. Look up Ann Harris and see if you can find more stuff about her. It's really fun. Apparently, she made some choices that did not please Dr. Hawking. There was a computational error was discovered when the book was sent for peer review. And so Ann said that she would not allow the book to be distributed until the mistake was corrected. And according to people who know on the inside, Hawking was furious with Ann Harris. As far as I know, he never forgave her because she found a mistake when she sent it out for peer review, and she wouldn't publish it until the copy was corrected. So that's what we want in an editor.
Well, he shouldn't be furious about that.
Oh, he was so special.
Thought he was so smart.
So smart. Brief History of Time, least read book ever. Second only to the Bible.
Oh. All right, well, it's almost time for us to declare the weekend. What do you think?
I think we should.
Or I don't know what your clock says, but...
Well, I don't know. We're moving at a different rate of speed here, so I'm not sure.
I think we are.
I'm not sure our clocks and your clock are synchronous here. I'm gonna declare the weekend, though.
It's the weekend. That was very sad.
I'm just so glad you're back, Mel. Oh, my gosh.
Does that represent how you're feeling?
No, I feel good, actually. I'm happy that you're back, and I hope you can come up for at least a couple more episodes before you have the next... You know, part of your travails, whatever they might be.
Yeah, we'll see how long I can come. I'll be back for, but eventually I'll go away for a few more weeks, but not too long.
Well, you know, we've got a wonderful, I won't say replacement, but we've got a wonderful stopgap here with our friend Luthor. So, Luke.
Yeah, so, no, he's great. I've been listening every week. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me again.
We did.
Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, you're welcome. We got a quick thing from Starla, email. She said we were talking about Putin's poop. She goes, don't forget that Trump wears diapers, so he probably already has someone who takes care of his stuff.
Power move.
All right. We got to get out of here. It's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Luthor, great to see you too. And thanks for everybody to listen. Everybody for listening. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar? Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WORT. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye. Hot pants. Hey, hot pants.
Hot pants. Smoking. Hot pants.
August 15th.
This is Bird Note. We know that hawks and eagles have keen vision, and that owls can see in the dark. But what else do we know of the visual ability of birds? Well, most, like us,